Week 5, Day 4, Hosea 10 through 12. Israel is a luxuriant vine that yields its fruit. The more his fruit increased, the more altars he built. As his country improved, he improved his pillars. Their heart is false. Now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will break down their altars and destroy their pillars. For now they will say, "We have no king, for we do not fear the Lord, and a king, what could he do for us?" They utter mere words, with empty oaths they make covenants. So judgment springs up like poisonous weeds in the furrows of the field. The inhabitants of Samaria tremble for the calf of Beth Avon. Its people mourn for it, and so do its idolatrous priests. Those who rejoiced over it and over its glory, for it has departed from them. The thing itself shall be carried to Assyria as tribute to the great king. Ephraim shall be put to shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his idol. Samaria's king shall perish like a twig on the face of the waters. The high places of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. Thorn and thistle shall grow up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, "Cover us," and to the hills, "Fall on us." From the days of Gibeah you have sinned, O Israel. There they have continued. Shall not the war against the unjust overtake them in Gibeah? When I please, I will discipline them, and nations shall be gathered against them when they are bound up for their double iniquity. Ephraim was a trained calf that loved to thresh. I spared her fair neck, but I will put Ephraim to the yoke. Judah must plow. Jacob must harrow for himself. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap steadfast love. Break up your fallow ground, for it is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed iniquity. You have reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies, because you have trusted in your own way and in the multitude of your warriors. Therefore, the tumult of war shall arise among your people, and all your fortresses shall be destroyed. As Shalmon destroyed Beth Arbel on the day of battle, mothers were dashed in pieces with their children. Thus it shall be done to you, O Bethel, because of your great evil. At the dawn, the king of Israel shall be utterly cut off. When Israel was a child, I loved him, and out of Egypt I called my son. The more they were called, the more they went away. They kept sacrificing to the Baals and burning offerings to idols. Yet it was I who taught Ephraim to walk. I took them up by their arms, but they did not know that I healed them. I led them with cords of kindness, with the bands of love, and I became to them as one who eases the yoke on their jaws. I bent down to them and fed them. They shall not return to the land of Egypt, but Assyria shall be their king, because you have refused to return to me. The sword shall rage against their cities and consume the bars of their gates and devour them because of their counselors. My people are bent on turning away from me, and though they call out to the Most High, he shall not raise them up at all. How can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, O Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I treat you like Zeboim? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. I will not execute my burning anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come in wrath. They shall go after the Lord. He will roar like a lion, and when he roars, his children shall come trembling from the west. They shall come trembling like the birds from Egypt and like doves from the land of Assyria, and I will return them to their homes, declares the Lord. Ephraim has surrounded me with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit, but Judah still walks with God and is faithful to the Holy One. Ephraim feeds on the wind and pursues the east wind all day long. They multiply falsehood and violence. They make a covenant with Assyria, and oil is carried to Egypt. The Lord has an indictment against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. He will repay him according to his deeds. In the womb, he took his brother by the heel, and in his manhood, he strove with God. He strove with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He met God at Bethel, and there God spoke with us. The Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord is his memorial name. So you, by the help of your God, return, hold fast to love and justice, and wait continually for your God. A merchant in whose hands are false balances, he loves to oppress. Ephraim has said, "Ah, but I am rich. I have found wealth for myself. In all my labors, they cannot find in me iniquity or sin. I am the Lord your God from the land of Egypt. I will again make you dwell in tents as in the days of the appointed feast. I spoke to the prophets. It was I who multiplied visions, and through the prophets gave parables. If there is iniquity in Gilead, they shall surely come to the nothing. In Gilgal, they sacrifice bulls. Their altars also are like stone heaps on the furrows of the field. Jacob fled to land of Aram. There Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he guarded sheep. By a prophet the Lord brought Israel up from Egypt, and by a prophet he was guarded. Ephraim has given bitter provocation, so his Lord will leave his blood guilt on him and will repay him for his disgraceful deeds. When My Way Fails and His Way Heals by Carissa Plum. Zach and I love to laugh at how differently we approach life. I'm a researcher. I overcomplicate decisions, gather every fact, read all the reviews, and even study the manual before unboxing anything, saving the packaging just in case. Zach, he grabs the first cheap option he sees, tears it open, tosses the manual, and figures it out as he goes. While I admire his decisiveness, my careful approach tends to lead to better results and less frustration.
Zach here. I'm editing this journal entry for Carissa, and while I hate to admit it, every word of this paragraph is accurate.
Here's my theory. The maker of the product knows how it's designed to work best. They created it, understand its potential, and know how to maintain it so it functions at its highest capacity. Israel made the mistake of ignoring the intent of the maker, God. They delighted in his blessings, but not in God himself. They enjoyed the fruit of the land, yet claimed it as their own, chasing personal gain instead of trusting his design. But the Creator gave clear instructions, not to burden them, but to lead them into flourishing. Still, they believed they knew better. They tried to have both God and the world. We still wrestle with this same tension today. If we followed God's wisdom in dating, marriage, parenting, work, and rest, so many of our struggles would ease. Pride, fear, and sin instead convict us that God's ways are too hard and won't satisfy. But his commands aren't arbitrary rules. They're invitations into peace and wholeness offered by the one who made us. When God gave the law to Moses, he didn't just include rules for holy living. He also commanded Sabbath rest, weekly, yearly, and through celebratory feasts. What other God requires his people to rest? Sabbath reminds us that we aren't loved because of what we do, but because of who we are to God. Look at how God speaks to his people in Hosea 11. It's one of the most tender, fatherly expressions of love in all of Scripture. Even in their rebellion, his heart was moved with compassion. I understand this because I've lived it. My rebellious heart has pushed against God's commands. My Gomer self learned how fruitless my own way was. But over time, I've grown to delight in his ways, just as Paul writes in Romans 7:22, "For I delight in the law of God in my inner being." Yeah, my flesh resists and perfection isn't expected, but sometimes what we call spiritual attack is really just the consequence of ignoring his wisdom. Psalm 1 reminds us, "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord." So are you trusting your maker's instructions, or are you still doing things your own way? You're not missing out by choosing his way. You're discovering what your soul was made for. Question 1. Do I trust that God is good, kind, and for my flourishing, or am I still convinced I know what's best for me? Where in my life am I resisting God's wisdom because it feels too hard, inconvenient, or countercultural? And what has that resistance cost me? Question 2. If God were to remove every blessing and comfort from my life, would I still delight in him simply for who he is? And where does my affection for him end and my affection for his gifts begin? Question 3, in what ways do we subtly build our identity on our control, achievements, or comforts? And how might embracing God's design, including Sabbath, surrender, and obedience, reshape our understanding of identity, worth, and peace? Daily prayer. Heavenly Father, help me to trust your wisdom over my instincts. Teach me to delight in your ways, knowing they lead to life and peace. Quiet the pride that says I know better, and draw my heart to rest in the care of my Creator. Amen.